Welcome to the Echoes of Alchemy with Lotus Sound Podcast. My name is Jay Robinson, and I'm coming to you from Lotus Sound Studio in beautiful downtown Collingwood, Ontario, Canada, where we provide sound baths, sound training, kirtan, wellness day retreats, and more. We're looking forward to our sixth year of Singing Bowls in the Park this summer at Awen Gathering Place in Collingwood on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. And as grounded, passionate, and dedicated students of ancient and modern sound practices, our team at Lotus Sound supports those looking to amplify their intuition, inner power, and purpose with our one-of-a-kind, unplugged gatherings and sound bath artistry training. Our mission is to inspire a holistically infused lifestyle utilizing natural, highly effective, and accessible sound wellness practices, and to contribute to the health, happiness, and spirit of our community. If you're interested in attending our three-day sound immersion training, deep dive into sound bath artistry, our May session, our spring session, is officially sold out. Thank you to everyone that registered. But we do have our summer training, our August training, which runs Friday, August 2nd until Sunday, August 4th. That session is open for registration now on our website, lotussound.ca. Lots of details there too. If you're interested, head on over and check it out. In this podcast series, we will talk all things sound, from frequencies to deep dives on instruments and philosophy. We will share our inspiration and interesting stories along the way. I hope you'll enjoy this podcast and be sure to follow, rate, and share. And we welcome you to become your most authentic, grounded, and loving self by embracing the practice of sound with us. Enjoy today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Echoes of Alchemy with Lotus Sound. My name is Jay Robinson, and today we are going to look at 432 Hertz versus 440 Hertz and some of the really outstanding mythology and stories that we have available to us in regards to these two frequencies. And here's just a couple that if you Google 432 Hertz versus 440 Hertz, a couple of these claims that you might see. So Jimi Hendrix, along with John Lennon, Bob Marley, and Prince, all tune their music to a specific frequency of 432 Hertz. This is one claim. Another claim: it is known as the beat of the earth, has substantial healing benefits, and ancient Egyptian and Greek instruments were discovered tuned to 432 Hertz, says another claim. Now, since 1953, all music has been tuned to 440 Hertz, the claims go on. This frequency has no specific relationship with our universe and actually causes the brain to become agitated. Another claim: the Nazis in World War II used this frequency against their enemies to make them feel and think a certain way. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, I'm talking about concert pitch. So the tuning of most of the music that we hear and have heard in modern times is all tuned to a standardized frequency of 440 Hertz. Hertz is cycles per second. So we tune our A notes to 440 Hertz, and that's how a piano in Tokyo and a piano in New York City can sound the same. They're tuned to the same standardized pitch. So there's a lot of claims that this pitch is a conspiracy that's been perpetrated upon humanity to create this, you know, unhealthy, throw us out of sync kind of effect. All the way to claiming that the Nazis are behind it and that we should switch all of our music to 432 and this type of thing. And I'm just going to go into a couple of my favorites that I've come across. And yeah, we'll just look at them and see what other kind of stories might exist in regards to these claims. Keeping in mind, of course, that this podcast is just, this is just me saying what I say and from my experience. So what I'm saying may be right for you and may not resonate. Or it might, you know, either way, this is just my take. Yeah, so let's look at a couple of those claims I just spoke about. So Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, Bob Marley, Prince, all tuned their music to a specific frequency of 432 Hertz is claimed. So that's definitely not true for Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, and Bob Marley. I don't know enough about Prince. Prince is more modern, so there is a chance that he did mess with his tunings a bit more than the other three mentioned. So Jimi Hendrix, I know Jimi Hendrix tuned down. He tuned his guitar lower than standard pitch because Jimi Hendrix was not comfortable with his singing voice originally. He was very shy. And if we tune our instrument a bit lower, it makes it easier on our vocal cords. So he did tune down a half of a step from 440. So his A string, he would actually tune to G sharp, but he did not tune to 432. And there's no way that it likely never came into his field, this whole 432 thing. Same with John Lennon, Bob Marley, same. So they might have tuned differently for their voices. I mean, a lot of the Beatles stuff is all over the place, but that was more studio fun and magic. And Bob Marley also might have tuned a bit lower, but not specifically to 432. They would have been more likely just tuning to the instruments they had or a piano that was present, and then tuning relative pitch to each other to play, because they didn't have tuners in the same way that we do today. Yeah. So that's definitely not true that Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, and Bob Marley tuned to 432. Guaranteed not true. So another claim here is that 432 hertz is the beat of the earth. And I think what they're probably referring to here is the Schumann resonance. And the Schumann resonance varies, because everything in nature varies. It breathes, it fluctuates, expands and contracts. Everything is moving, everything is vibrating. So nothing is perfectly standardized in that way in nature. So the Schumann resonance is actually around, on average, according to what I have learned, 7.83 hertz. And for it to work in the way that I think they want it to work here in regards to the beat of the earth and 432, it would actually have to be 8 hertz to work into 432 as a number. And so that doesn't work either, in my opinion. That's not, if you're going to get really specific, you got to be specific on all the points. And yeah, so that falls flat for me. 432 as a number, though, is definitely has mojo. Like, the aside from frequency discussion, 432, 108, you know, 108 is a sacred number across a whole array of religious and ancient cultures. So yeah, there's 108 Upanishads in India, the ancient Sanskrit texts. There's 108 holy cities for Vaishnavites, and 108 marma points, or sacred places on the body. Also mala. So mala, the it's not technically jewelry, but it looks like a necklace, and people meditate or do their japa, their mantra practice, with the beads. So they'll say a mantra for each bead, and there are 108 beads on the mala. Buddhists also believe that there's 108 defilements to overcome to achieve enlightenment. So 108 as a number, also 1 and 0, you know, that can be like I, and then 0 is like, 1 can be like form, 0 can be like formless, 8 can be like infinity. There's a lot of ways to look at the number 108 that's really beautiful. Yeah, 108 times 4 is 432. So 432 definitely is a cool number. It really is. And you can play with it in all kinds of different ways. But when it comes to frequency, doesn't hold up in the same way, in my opinion. Okay, let's look at the next kind of claim here in this that list that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. So let's go back now. They're speaking about Egyptian and ancient Egyptian and Greek instruments discovered tuned to 432 hertz. Okay. So this is a really easy one to dispel, because the concept of a second didn't exist until the late 16th century. So the measurement of time that's used to calculate what a frequency would be in hertz, because hertz is cycles per second. So the measurement of time, seconds, didn't exist until the late 16th century. So the ancient people were not tuning anything to 432 hertz, because not only did hertz not exist, the measurement of time as we know it didn't exist. So it's preposterous to presume that they were tuning to 432. They were tuning to nature, as far as I can tell, or to their environments, or to their voices, right? It has to do a lot with voices, these frequencies. So standardized pitch was actually brought into effect to finalize and to cement the standard worldwide, so that singers wouldn't be screwed, basically. because there was this whole pitch inflation war that happened in the 1800s in Europe between orchestras. They were competing and tuning higher and higher and higher and higher, making it more and more and more intense, which had a great effect. But eventually it goes too high for the singers who are part of these orchestras, and the human voice has a range. So the standardized pitch was actually to save singers, similar to Jimi Hendrix and him tuning down, or Bob Marley maybe tuning down, although Bob was pretty strong on the vocals, but Jimmy was a little more timid. But he tuned down so that it made it easier for him. So standardized pitch prior to 440 was actually around 435. And even the tuning fork, so the tuning fork, the oldest tuning fork from the 18th century. So a Viennese piano builder who built instruments or tuned them for Mozart, apparently, and Beethoven. They found his tuning fork, and this is the oldest tuning fork that's ever been found. And it turns out it was tuned to 421.6 hertz. So pitches varied all over the place in the past. Okay, let's look at another claim here. Let's get into some more. Okay, so the next claim says that, this is getting into the Nazis, World War II, frequency, warfare, etc., etc. So yeah, according to this article that I found on Reuters, the pitch note A appears to have been first proposed in 1834. And standard pitch A440 was already being followed by American Federation of Musicians by 1917. So in 1917, by the early-ish 1900s, we were shifting into 440. Musical instrument production also exploded in the US, and a lot of the instruments were being exported worldwide, and they were all being tuned to 440. So that was standardized pretty early. And as far as the Nazis go, luckily for me and us, people have already looked into this for us, and I've found numerous accounts and links to articles. So according to this article on Reuters, the origin of this alleged link between the Nazis and the standardization of pitch, A440, is actually to an article that was published in 1988, which claimed that the Minister of Propaganda in Nazi Germany had been instrumental in the 1939 meeting. The article, however, makes no mention of this frequency being used to make their enemies feel and think a certain way. Reuters article goes on, "It is true that Germany attended the 1939 meeting, along with France, Italy, Great Britain, and Holland, as described in this article that they link to." So the article also discusses Jeffrey Herf, a professor of history at the University of Maryland and author of Jewish Enemy, Nazi Propaganda During World War II and the Holocaust. The book dismissed the claim that Nazis used musical pitch A440 to manipulate their enemies. Quote, "I've never seen anything remotely like that. It's absurd," end quote, he told Reuters. So yeah, let's look a little bit at the history of tuning and see where this all came from. So if we go back to the late 16th century, as I mentioned, the measurement of time began as we know it, and cycles per second could then be a thing, but not quite yet. So they had to get the time thing figured out. The tuning fork was invented in 1711 by John Shore. 18th century, Johann Andreas Stein, the piano builder I mentioned for Mozart, his tuning fork from that period was found, 421.6 hertz. 1859, the French government sets a pitch standard to A435. So this is the first instance of standardized pitch within many European orchestras. This was taken on as the standard. In late 19th century, Giuseppe Verdi champions 432 hertz for its perceived harmonious qualities. Verdi's advocacy for 432 highlights an early preference for this tuning standard, believed to be more aligned with natural vibrations and human aesthetics. Okay, 1930, the term hertz is coined by Heinrich Hertz. 1939, International Conference in London suggests A440 is a standard pitch. 1955, International Organization for Standardization officially adopts 440 hertz as the standard pitch tuning. Yeah, so late 20th century, we finally see the first mentions kind of 432 hertz, and it really coincides with the internet coming online and these stories and mythology being kind of passed around. you know, this earth connection tone, or that 440 is this frequency that all of our music we're listening to is, you know, beating us up. But I've had a lot of pretty magical experiences, and almost all the music I've witnessed has been 440 concert pitch. So I'm all about whatever sounds good and feels good to you, you know, is good by me. Justine and I play 440. We do have some 432 hertz instruments in our setup, but only a few. And I did try to tune my sitar for a bit to 432 hertz, but I've been playing in 440 my whole life, and it just doesn't sound in tune to me. So I switched back, and we've been 440 ever since that brief little stint. But I do enjoy any instrument that sounds good to me. So I don't really, for me, I don't really care what the tuning is. If it sounds good, then I like it. And it can be that simple, I think. But again, we do like stories, and they are fun. Another thing too to keep in mind is that 432 is lower than 440, which means the tone is a bit lower, a bit bassier, a little bit lower. And we tend to, as humans, react to lower frequencies. They can be more soothing to us. So you could conceivably hear something in 440 and then 432 and maybe be slightly more relaxed or something. But it is a lower tone, and that can be warmer sounding to some people. But it's so small, like 440 to 432 is almost imperceivable. But if you're a sound bath artist and you want to, you know, build a good setup or a decent size setup of different instruments, maybe experiment with both. But like for me, I definitely gear towards one, and mine is 440, and then all of my setup can kind of match itself. But I do include a 432 instrument occasionally in the sound baths too, so you can mix and match, you can have fun. 440 is good for playing with other musicians too. Keep that in mind. Almost everybody is playing in 440, so if you get your ear tuned to 432, you could have a slight challenge maybe playing with other people. Or if you want instruments to get together and have jams, that kind of thing, you want to make sure everybody's instruments are kind of in the same realm for the sweetest sound, of course. And yeah, so I think for me, this about says it. I don't buy the 432 story. I do buy the number 432 being significant and worth looking at. 108, 54, you know. There's a lot there. There's celestial significance too. So it's said that the distance between the Earth and the Sun is approximately 108 times the Sun's diameter. It's also said that the distance between the Earth and the Moon is about 108 times the Moon's diameter. So, yeah. In Vedic astrology, there's 12 zodiac signs and 9 planets, totaling 108, 12 houses, and 9 planets. So, yeah, 108 definitely is significant to us and worth looking at. But 432 hertz is a frequency. Yeah, the universe has a lot going on. And whether we know it or not, we're receiving all kinds of different frequencies. We can just hear this little bandwidth. And it's fun though. So to wrap up our podcast today, I thought I would play two instruments. One is tuned to 432 and one is tuned to 440. And you can just kind of feel each. Maybe you can get an idea about which one you like best. And I like both of these. These are both really precious instruments to Justine and I. So yeah, I like them both. Anyway, here we go. Thanks for listening. Thank you. right, so that was 432 hertz, D minor pentatonic, 5-note scale, double side spirit drum. And now this is a 440 hertz handpan from Oracle. And thanks again for listening to the podcast. Be sure to follow and rate, and we'll see you next time. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode and that you'll join us again. Visit our website, lotussound.ca, and if you're ever in the Collingwood, Ontario, Canada neighborhood, be sure to look us up and connect. We'd love to meet you, love to vibe with you. Thanks for listening.